ततो यमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेषाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। We are very grateful to His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu and Shachi Mata for speaking about Srila Prabhupada. So with their blessings, I'll try to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. So today I would like to speak something based on few verses from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is from the prayers of Lord Brahma. So if we see, so there are different ways in which a person can connect himself to God. Srila Rupa Goswami, in one of his books called as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he especially mentions 64 ways by which one can actually connect himself to God. So one of the ways he mentions is offering prayers to the Lord. So there he mentions there are two types of prayers. One is offering some prayers with great feeling towards the Lord. And second is reciting the notable prayers offered by great personalities. So we have to, when we go in front of the Lord, we can actually offer both type of prayers. We can actually open up our heart to the Supreme Lord. And we also try to actually recite the prayers of other previous personalities who have offered prayers in the scriptures. So, when we offer the prayers offered by great personalities, we may not have those feelings with which they are offering those prayers. Our feelings are something else. But at least we can try to understand their feelings as what they have actually what they have expressed in their prayers to the Supreme Lord. So prayer is actually such a beautiful process that we can offer prayer in any situation. For example, say chanting. Suppose when a person is in the admitted in a hospital or when he is in a difficult condition, he may not be able to chant the holy names. One may not be able to worship the deity form of the Lord. Because of course, one may do it in the mind, but then we may not be able to physically do it, but when we talk about prayers, prayers can be offered even when a person is lying in a hospital bed. He can actually offer a prayer in his mind. He can offer a prayer in his heart. So that's why prayer is actually it's a very important aspect of devotional service. So today, we would like to actually speak from the prayers of Lord Brahma in order to actually understand his feelings when he's actually offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So these prayers were offered by Lord Brahma after Brahma was bewildered by Lord Krishna. So this is a beautiful pastime, but to tell in short, once Lord Brahma, he actually desired to understand the powers of Lord Krishna. He desired to understand that how powerful the Supreme Lord. So he actually, once he stole the, when Krishna was taking lunch along with his cowherd boyfriends, he stole the calves which his cowherd boyfriends were actually herding. And then when the cowherd boys were actually were in anxiety, when they could not find the calves, then when they wanted to go out and actually look for the calves, but Krishna told them that you do not have to go, I will personally go and actually search for the calves, so you keep taking your lunch. And when Krishna actually went to search for the calves, so at that time Krishna stole the cowherd boys also. So Lord Brahma, he thought that he stole this calves and cowherd boys in order to actually expecting that how Krishna is going to act in this situation, what pastime Krishna is going to perform now. So Lord Brahma was wanted, in one sense he was trying to test Lord Krishna. So then Lord Brahma, he just, after one moment he came out, because Lord Brahma was also fearful, but actually because he was feeling that I am actually dealing with the Supreme Personality of God. So out of fear, he did not wait for a long time. Within one moment he came out. But by that time, one moment according to Brahma's calculation is equivalent to 1 year in the earthly planet. So during that time, Krishna had expanded himself into all these calves and the cowherd boys, and he was actually performing pastimes in Vrindavan. He satisfied the desires of all the mothers in Vrindavan who had a desire to actually express their affection towards Krishna. But their desires were fulfilled by Krishna during this one particular year. And all the cows also had a desire to express their affection towards Krishna by actually giving their milk. And Krishna satisfied the desires of all the cows during that one particular year. So when Brahma came, after one moment, 1 year had passed. And at that time, Brahma saw that Krishna is actually continuing to play with his cows and cowherd boyfriends and all the cows. He was completely bewildered as to what was happening. And he went and again checked the cows and the cowherd boys, whether they are present in the particular cave in which he has hidden them. But he saw that they were actually in the same cave. And then he again came and saw, but Krishna is playing with his friends and the cows. So he got completely confused. So at that time, Krishna actually revealed to Lord Brahma that he himself had expanded as the cows and cowherd boys for that one particular year. He actually showed his 400 form, that vision to Lord Brahma. So here we see that in the case of Lord Brahma, in one sense, he committed a mistake for just one moment. But that one moment of mistake committed by Lord Brahma, that separated Krishna from his devotees for one full year. Like sometimes, one may commit a mistake maybe for say many weeks or many months or many days, but the reaction may be small. But sometimes a person may commit a mistake just for one moment, but the reaction may be much more. So it depends on the person in which position he is in, it depends on the time. Like for example, suppose a person is cooking, is trying to condense some milk. So when he put, say, 20 liters milk in the pot, and we are heating the milk. So initially, we may even go out and make some phone calls, may chant some rounds, and the milk will just continuing to get boiled. There will not be any problem with the milk. But as time progresses, when the milk actually starts getting condensed more and more, you have to keep stirring the milk more frequently. As time progresses even further, then you cannot stop stirring a moment, stop stirring a milk even for one moment. So you'll have to continuously stir the milk. So similarly, when a person takes to spiritual life, or when a person in the beginning, a person can afford to be inattentive, but still it may not cost so much. But when a person progresses further, that a person is expected to be more and more attentive. Sometimes even a slight inattention, even as in the case of Lord Brahma, he was inattentive for one moment, but that actually interrupted Krishna's pastime for one full year. Of course, in the sense Krishna was separated from his devotees for one full year. So the lesson is that how one has to be more and more attentive when we actually deal with persons who are superior to us. When we are dealing with, when we are practicing the process of devotional service. So Lord Brahma, when he realized the mistake, he actually got down from his swan carrier, as Gaurang Prabhu was explaining in the today morning's class. So Lord Brahma offered a prostrated obeisances to Lord Krishna, and then he started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So I will try discuss few prayers. So one of the beautiful prayer, which he says, Jnane prayasam udapasya namantayeva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jitai sapitai strilokyam. So in this prayer, Lord Brahma is saying, who are the people who can actually conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So one of the names of Krishna is called as Ajita, means like one who is unconquerable. So here he says, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be conquered by a person who just follows two principles. What are the two principles? The one is the don't, and another is the do. One is something which is supposed to avoid, and another is something which is supposed to follow it. The first thing he says is, Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. He says that one should actually give up the process of speculation. One should actually throw away the process of mental speculation. Srila Prabhupada mentions that one should not even slightly endeavor to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by the process of mental speculation. And the second thing he says is that one should simply hear about the Supreme Lord. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir. One should simply hear about the Supreme Lord, and then he describes how one should hear about the Lord. For that he mentions sthane sthita. One does not need to change one's situation. Whatever situation a person may be in this world, as being situated in a family, or as a student, or as a housewife, or whatever may be the situation, sthane sthita, One can be situated in any situation, but here about the Supreme Lord. Shruti Gatam Tanuvan Manobir. That means like, one should dedicate one's body, mind and words to the topics of the Lord. One should dedicate one's body, mind and words. That means, with one's body, we can, we may work hard to facilitate that the hearing of the hearing and chanting of the Supreme Lord may take place. Like for example, like in order for us to speak Krishna Katha, like there will be other devotees who may have to manage say queue or some crowd care or some taking care of some chapels or prasadam serving, etc. So they may not be able to directly sit and hear, but they are actually utilizing their body so that this hearing of Krishna Katha can take place. So Tanu and Van. So Van means somebody is serving by speaking about the Lord. In fact, Lord Brahma, he tells in one of the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam second canto, such a beautiful consciousness which Lord Brahma is exhibiting. He says that Samyak Karunikasyedam. So when Narada Muni asked questions to Lord Brahma, so Lord Brahma is saying, you have been merciful towards me by asking these questions to me, because I have been inspired to speak about the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is telling Narada Muni that you are actually merciful to me by actually, because you have given me an opportunity to speak about the Lord. You have given me an opportunity so that I can think about the prowess of the Lord. So he is exhibiting the consciousness that how, what should be the mood of a person who is supposed to be speaking about the Lord. That he should think that the audience is actually merciful to him. So Tanuvan and Manobir. It means like, we hear about the Lord now, and then when we go home, we try to think about what we have heard. We try to think about what we have heard. We try to contemplate how we can actually implement that in our life. So when we do these things, when we give up the process of speculation, when we actually hear about the Supreme Lord, by dedicating our body, mind and word to the topics of the Lord, then what happens? Then, ye prayasho jita jito apitai strilokyam. The Supreme Lord who is unconquerable, he can be conquered by that particular person. So simply by hearing, by giving oral reception to the Lord, the Supreme Lord becomes conquerable. So such a beautiful point which Lord Brahma is actually speaking. So just talking about this speculation, because Lord Brahma is mentioning, Jnane prayasam udapasya namantayeva. One should not even slightly endeavor to understand the absolute truth by the process of speculation. So we'll try to discuss something about this process of speculation. So Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in the fourth canto. He says, trying to understand the Supreme Lord by speculation is a futile attempt, because the process of understanding, the objective and the instrument by which we understand the absolute truth, all are actually material. So in the process of speculation, when you are trying to understand the absolute truth by the process of speculation, the process, the instrument and the objective, all are material. Means like you are using something material to understand the Supreme Lord who is completely spiritual. A simple example, like suppose, like some of you might have studied during the school days. If you have to study, if you have to measure, say, the length of an instrument, length of something, then you have to use an instrument by which you can measure. You cannot use some, say, weighing machine to measure the length. Or you cannot use some litmus paper to actually measure the length. So if you want to understand something, you also have to use an instrument which is also having the same property. So similarly, the Supreme Lord is spiritual. So if you have to understand the Supreme Lord, you have to actually adopt a spiritual process and not the material process. So Prabhupada mentions the objective, the process and the instrument, all are actually material. So therefore, this is a futile attempt. So in the process of mental speculation, we are trying to use our limited capacity to understand the Supreme Lord, who is actually unlimited. This is one place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there was the narration is described about the fight between Hiranyaksha and Lord Varahadev. So it's explained that Hiranyaksha, by his mystic powers, he was trying to capture Varahadev within his arms. So you try to capture Varahadev, but then to his surprise you would find that Varahadev is actually, you try to capture Varahadev, Varahadev is outside, would be outside his arms. Again you would go there and try to capture Varahadev, but Varahadev would be outside his arms. So Prabhupada says that this is the attitude of the demons. So Hiranyaksha was like a grass demon, was actually trying to capture the Supreme Lord within his arms. But in the modern world, there are demons in whose heart the Hiranyaksha element is present, who are trying to capture the Supreme Lord with their limited mind and intelligence. So they are not trying to actually kill the Supreme Lord, but They are trying to kill the Supreme Lord with their body or with their arms, but they are trying to kill the Supreme Lord by their words, with their mind, with the process of mental speculation. With their limited mind, they are trying to actually kill the Supreme Lord. So sometimes when we wonder that, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, like many places, Srila Prabhupada actually condemns about those people who actually speculate on the absolute truth. I wonder why Prabhupada is so heavy upon them. So when we contemplate a little bit, every nation has certain terrorist which is in their most wanted list. Like for India, maybe certain terrorists who are involved in bomb blasts in stock exchange or certain this thing. So they are in the most wanted list. So they are trying to bring the terrorists in, catch the terrorists in so many years, but nothing is happening. But suppose, sometimes if there is a news, or suppose if the government, the terrorist actually is applying for, visa into the country in India. Or the terrorist is asking for, I want freedom to roam around this country with my AK-47 or something with my weapons. But it's already known that he has actually, is responsible for killing so many people. And suppose if a government official actually gives permission, this terrorist is allowed to roam anywhere in the country. Although he is well known that he is responsible for the killing of so many people, and he is given full freedom to move around with any other weapons or to go anywhere in the country, then you would think, what kind of a government official is he? Because he is no. One would think this person has killed so many people, then how can such a person be given freedom? Some people was responsible in the killing of one of the previous prime minister. There was some news some certain politicians were saying, no, they should be actually freed. So I'm not trying to argue whether it is right or wrong, but the point is that when somebody who is proved that he has actually killed so many people, who was responsible for the killing of so many people, who has killed some important people, then how can they be given freedom? If he is not proved that he has completely changed. he cannot be given freedom. Such a decision will actually attract so much of criticism from the common people. So these are some terrorists who actually killed the gross bodies of people. But then, many times, there are also intellectual terrorists who are not killing the gross body, but they are actually killing the soul of the people. And they are killing the faith of the people. But the government is not doing anything about them. So those are the people who are actually the so-called academic scholars who write commentaries on Mahabharata, Ramayana, but they try to twist their meaning and they try to make the villain as the hero. And they try to actually derate the personality of God. Like, there was one person who is considered to be the authority of Hinduism in the Western world. So this professor, this lady, she had guided hundreds of PhD students. She had written so many books. But we could clearly see that there is a systematic attempt to bring down the Vedic culture in her books. She has written clearly about derading about the Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva, Ganesh, in a very perverted manner. So when such people actually, she may be considered the authority of Hinduism, but actually I would say she doesn't know even the ABCD of Hinduism. I'm not saying just like that. But actually if you see Lord Brahma in his prayers, one of the prayers he mentions, he says the most lamentable people of all lamentable people in his creation are those people who consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. This is actually Lord Brahma's verdict. So Lord Brahma is telling the most lamentable people in his creation are those people who consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. So these so-called authorities of Hinduism who guided hundreds of people into PhD or so many of these things, but they have derided Krishna in such a perverted manner. And their books are actually, like, somehow that book was banned. Of course, there are so many other books in which people have misinterpreted Gita, Mahabharata. They are not banned. But somehow this book was banned. And then she gave a statement, oh, Indian government is not giving a freedom of speech. And another person had written an article, oh, this is a wrong decision by the government. They have not allowed freedom of speech. But actually, if you see, so these are the people who are intellectual terrorists. So if a terrorist like Dawood Ibrahim or somebody like, if he is giving a freedom, then that would be actually condemned by the people. But if this kind of a scholar or who actually speculated, if he is given a freedom of speech, that is not condemned by people. Because we don't recognize that they are actually intellectual terrorists. So what they are doing is, they are doing a much greater crime than these terrorists. So these terrorists, they are just killed maybe certain people in a bomb blast. I'm not saying that it's completely wrong. They should be given the capital punishment. There is no doubt about it. But there are other terrorists, those who are actually speculating, and they are actually writing such literatures which actually kills the faith of the people in the Vedic culture, which kills the faith of the people in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are actually killing the soul. Of course, soul cannot be killed. We know that. But they are killing the soul in the sense that they are killing the faith of the people. So, India is mainly known for its culture. So, we need people. We need a good police force. We need who can actually protect the country from the wrong elements. But we also need people we can protect the Vedic culture from these intellectual terrorists. So jnane prayasam udapasya namantayeva. So Lord Brahma is saying that one should actually give up this process of speculation. So when we talk about speculation, so Srila Prabhupada, he gave two principles. One should chant the holy names of the Lord and one should follow the four regulative principles. So the four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, they bring a person to the platform of mode of goodness. And then when a person chants the holy name, one can make more rapid progress. So one of these principles is called no gambling. So gambling, on a gross level, it means, so investing our money and then maybe trying to get maybe in race or different this one. Just to get quick money, we try to invest money and then we try to do like that. But on a subtle level, gambling also means mental speculation. In mental speculation, we are gambling with the truth. On a gross level, maybe we are gambling with, say, with the money. But in a subtle level, we are gambling with the truth when we do mental speculation. So Lord Brahma is telling one should actually completely avoid this process of mental speculation. So when I talked about this intellectual terrorist, like when I mentioned that particular professor who has actually written a book derading Krishna and all the Hindu gods by trying to writing in a very perverted manner. And I was seeing one person had written an article when the government banned that book. This person has written an article condemning that government's decision. Oh, the government is wrong because government is not giving a freedom of speech. And then I saw the name of the person who has written the article. The name of the person who has written the article is Jagannath. Well, he is actually... So unfortunate. That means he is coming from a... The name is Jagannath, that means like he is coming from a family of good culture. That is why that name is given. But he is actually supporting that person who has written a book derading Lord Krishna, saying that he should be given freedom of speech. So that is so unfortunate. So the reason is that because we have not come in contact with the right sources. So Prabhupada explains in one purport, the cause of speculation is that hearing from the wrong sources and not hearing from the right sources. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, so his servant Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he heard from other Vrajavasis that Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So then he told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to go and see Krishna who is dancing in the hoods of Kaliya in Yamuna River. So Mahaprabhu slapped him. Said, Krishna appeared in Dwapar Yuga 5000 years back. Now where is Krishna now? So Balabhadra Bhattacharya, so Prabhupada explains here. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya was a victim of speculation. Because he heard from the wrong sources. He heard from the wrong sources because Krishna, whenever the Lord would appear, it would be mentioned in the scriptures. When he would appear, where he would appear, how many years he would say, when he would actually wind up his pastimes, everything would be explained. So he heard from some wrong sources, from some rumors here and there, and then he went back, wanted to go and see Krishna. So similarly, so there are intellectual terrorists who may actually write books in order to misguide people. But, of course, we may not be writing books. At least let us not become victim of their intellectual terrorism by reading those books. But at least we can actually take advantage of the books written by Srila Prabhupada and we can actually get the right understanding and we can try to distribute these books to others and we can try to share this knowledge with others by which we can save other people by so that they don't become victim of this mental speculation. So in this way, so Lord Brahma is speaking this very beautiful verse. So here it is explained that the Supreme Lord becomes conquered by that person who simply gives oral reception to his pastimes. So one of the characteristics of Krishna, one of the characteristics of devotional service is called as Shri Krishna Akarshini. Shri Krishna Akarshini means Krishna becomes attracted to a devotee. So when you put like a magnet, when you have a magnet, suppose you have a big magnet and there is a small iron piece, so immediately the iron piece will actually go towards the magnet. But have you ever seen a huge magnet going towards a small piece of iron? We may never see that. But in the spiritual life it is possible. So Krishna is like that huge magnet, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is like a 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair, the spirit soul. But that Krishna becomes attracted to a living entity. The living entity simply gives oral reception to the process of hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Lord Brahma is speaking this verse. So I would like to end here. Thank for this opportunity to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll have Kirtan.